Okay, morning everyone. Today's daf in Erevin, daf Yud Aleph. We're starting on Yud Amud Beis. Just a quick recap of yesterday. Yesterday we talked about the entrance of the Mavui being 15 amas. Now that's no good. The Mishnah taught us, first Mishnah in the Masechta taught us that the allowable Pesach of the Mavui can only be 10 amas and not more than 10 amas. So obviously what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to shorten this entrance down. So the simplest solution is just take a wooden plank that's 5 amos wide and stick it right on the side. But the Gemara wants to know, from a minimalist standpoint, what's the minimum amount of plank that needs to be put over here on the side? And so the Gemara made a statement that it's got to be three amos over here. So in other words, 2 amos of airspace, 3 amos of wall, and then the rest can be just considered a Pesach, and that would be good enough. That's what the Gemara said. The Gemara wanted to know, what do we play around with some other numbers? Instead of configuration of 2 and 3, so why don't we make it a configuration of, the Gemara played around with the following. How about making it 1 and 1 over here, and no, I was right the first time. Okay, 1 and 1 and a half over here, 1 and a half over here, and that would be a total of 3, and then there would be 2 over here. So the Gemara says that's not going to be any good, because what's going to end up happening, if this is only 1 and a half, and this is 1 and a half, what's happening over here is that we're going to lose this one. Why are we going to lose this one? Because you have 10 amas of airspace over here, 2 amas of airspace over here, so this is greater than 1 and a half, this is greater than 1 and a half, and we're going to lose the 1 and a half. So the Gemara says that's not going to work out. So then the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we do it like this? So why don't we make it, what was the Gemara's suggestion?
1 and a half space.
One and a half space from the wall. Right, why, right. 1 and a half, 1 and a half, right. That's correct. That's what the Gemara suggested. So, and then this will be 1 and 1. And the Gemara says that in fact would work. That would not be a problem, because over here now, we're not going to lose this one. Why are we not going to lose this one? Because this is only 1. This doesn't exceed this. So this one stands, and so therefore I got more wall than airspace. To which the Gemara says, this in fact is good. So, but the only reason why we went to 3 is because 3 is just easier, because it's just 1 solid plank. Okay, that's what we did yesterday. And quickly, we got to finish up yesterday's daf, and then we're going to go to today's daf. The Gemara, we're right in the middle of the Amud, on Yud Amud Beis. So, En Achinami, where are we in the Gemara? Sorry, Mavaz Basam Vyachi Kama Vyasapasam Vyachi Kama Vyasapasam Shmamina, Omeka Parats, Asalom and Lacham Motavishani Hachada Savir, the Haigis Mavatale, Omevatale Vyachi Kama Vyasapasam Mersa, Vyachi Kama Vyasapasam Mersa. We just did that. En Achinami, got it. Okay, I'm locked in, we're ready to go. We are continuing from yesterday's Gemara Vekule Hailo Chuchura Banan. The rabbis didn't want to have that much tircha of having 1 and a half beams. Fine. Volechus Dilma Shavik Pischa Rabba Vail Bepischa Zuta. Okay. Gemara now asks another question. Look, what we're trying to do, obviously, is we're trying to limit, because we only want a Pesach of 10 amas. So we're putting beams, slats on the side, in order so that we're minimizing the width so that it comes down to 10 amas. How about this? Why aren't we afraid that people are going to use that as a side entrance? And meaning that over here we have now 2 entrances into the Mavui. The problem becomes that, look, what we're trying to do is create a 10-amah Pesach, put either a Korah Lechi on the entrance of the Pesach, reminding people that this is where the Mavui ends, this is where the Rishus HaRabim begins. Now here's another problem. If I do this type of configuration, or let's say I take the 1 and a half slats and I put them side by side, and I create a 2-amah space all the way in the corner, aren't people going to go in and out of the smaller entrance? So the Gemara's answer is, Amar Rav Adar Master Chazak in Adamanech Pesach Gadol V'Nichnas BePesach Katan. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. That's not what people do. If people will see 2 entrances into a building, the larger main entrance and a side entrance, no one's going to go into the side entrance, but people are going to go into the larger main entrance. Umayshna Midrabi Ami Midrabi Asi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you remember, about a week ago in Erevin, we had a discussion. Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Asi was talking about where there was a breach on the side of the Mavui. So, and the Gemara says, and that's going to that's going to call into question the integrity of the mavui. The Gemara says, yeah, but that case is different over there, because there was a breach on the side of the mavui, which created actually a shortcut. So if people could save time, so then yes, they would go into a side entrance and forgo the main entrance. But if there's no time to be saved, and it's just a question now of which entrance do I go in, the main entrance or the side, and there's no gain in terms of saving time or energy, so then people are going to go in the main entrance. Okay, I've got. All right, so therefore we have now finished the discussion of the entrance into the Mavui, getting it down from 15 down to 10, to Nanasam, and now we're going to go to a funny place in terms of where we're going to take this discussion, and that is to a Mishnah in Kalim. Okay, to be fair, it's not a Mishnah in Kalim, it's a Tosefta in Kalim. And it deals with the following. Or ha'asla v'chalo shalom mitztarfin b'tefach. Okay. So if I have a hide, right, it's a seat that you sit down on. So it's both the seat and the hole in the middle is going to be mitztarf in order to make the shear of a tefach. Okay, a couple things over here. First of all, let's just read a little bit more Gemara. Amai or asla, amai rabba barachana, amai rav yochanan, or kisui shal beis ha-kisui. So we're talking about a chair used for the bathroom. Okay, no indoor plumbing back in the good old days. So what did you do? So you went outside. And if you had to go outside, then you had to sit down in a seat. So they actually constructed a seat where you sat down, you went outside, and you did your business on the seat. Now, obviously, the seat's going to have a hole in it, so that can, you know, for obvious reasons. The point the Tosefta over here is making is the following. Obviously, the totality of the seat, let's call it a tefach. Okay, let's say that the totality of the seat in an area is one tefach by one tefach. Now, obviously, with a hole in the middle, so that means that you don't have a total of a tefach of hide. But that's not the point. The point is, however, is that since that's the functionality of the seat, since that's how the seat is made, it's a toilet seat, so obviously a toilet seat is going to be made with a hole in the middle, so that's just considered part of the seat. And as long as you have a tefach by tefach, so how is it going to impact us in terms of the halachas of Tumas Meis? We know that if I have human remains underneath any roof that is at least a tefach by tefach, so that means now it's going to encase the tumah, where the tumah is going to hit the roof, spread out over the entirety of the roof, and drop down to anything underneath the roof. So here, okay, showing you a random item that's nearly a tefach by a tefach, certainly lengthwise, widthwise, you can quibble, but in other words, here's going to be basically your minimum dimension of Tumas Meis, of an ohel for Tumas Meis. And now the point that the Gemara over here is gaining from the Tosefta is that if I have, as long as it's in total, a tefach by a tefach, so then you're good, meaning it's going to give off Tumas Ohel, despite the fact that you have a gaping hole in the middle. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss this gaping hole, Vikama. Now, what kind of gaping hole are we talking about over here? Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar, Etzbaim Mikan Ve'etzbaim Mikan Ve'etzbaim Revach Be'emtza. So now the Gemara actually is going to look at this toilet seat with unbelievable scrutiny and try to assess what exactly are the dimensions of seat to hole in the middle. So the Gemara now is basically looking at it from a linear standpoint. And basically, I mean, we could draw a circle, but basically, 2 expos of hole, and 2 expos of toilet seat. 2 by 2 by 2. I'm sorry, not 2 by 2. 2 solid, 2 airspace, and 2 solid. Now, by the way, for those of you who are wondering right now, that's 6, right? That makes a total of 6. And we generally say a tefach is 4 etzbaos. So it does seem to be that we are now about 20%, no, 40% larger than what a normal tefach would be. So stay with me as the Gemara is about to ask that question. But in the meantime, however, it's 2 after 2 after 2. So Amar Rabba Rechana Rav Yochanan or Kisur Shabbat Zekisei, sorry. Ki also Rav Dima, it's by Mekam, it's by Mekam, it's by Revach Bemsa. Ki also Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, also analyzing the same Tosefta, Amar Etzba Mechsa Mekan, Ve'etzba Mechsa Mekan, Ve'etzba Revach Be'emsa. Okay, so it's 1.5 on one side, 1.5 on the other side, and 1 in the middle. Okay, so not 2, 2, 2, but rather 1.5, 1.5, 1, making for a total of 4. Okay, which is, by the way, what we know better is a tefach. So Amalei Abai L'Rav Dimi Mi Pligisu. So are we having a debate over here? Amalei Lom Ha B'Rav Ravasa Ha B'Zitrasa V'Lo Palginan. Nope, we're not having a debate over here. In other words, we're looking at the same tefach. It's just a question of how to divide a tefach. A tefach is made up generally what we call four etzbaos. When we say four etzbaos, we're talking about the thick etzba, otherwise known as the thumb. So in other words, it's four etzbas placed side by side with one another. So that's our normal view of a tefach. So what we would call normally 4 inches, right, approximately the width of the thumb. And so the Gemara says that's the second opinion. And the first opinion is not counting by the thick thumb, but it's counting by the little finger, perhaps the pinky. But in other words, but we're basically looking at the same tefach. Okay, so the Gemara now is proposing, no debate over here, just a question of which finger we're using to measure the tefach. Amar le'la'ai pligisu. So he says, no, I disagree. There actually is a debate over here. Not in terms of the actual measurement, but conceptually. And that is, v'omen merub al aparts mishtei ruchos plaginal. Lididcha ha've'omen mishtei ruchos, l'ravin merachachar ha've'omen mishtei ruchos lo ha've'omen. So the Gemara says, there is a minor debate going on over here, because if you look carefully now, let's assume that from end to end it's the same. But here, the first opinion was 2, 2, and 2. The second opinion is 1.5, 1.5, and 1 in the middle. And again, we're assuming that from end to end it's the same. Just a question of how much of the center needs to be filled. And here's the debate. You see, because in this scenario over here, there's a hole in the middle. There's airspace in the middle. Can I look at the size and say, well, I have as much on the side as I have in the middle, so therefore we have omen merubala parts. The first opinion, this is opinion number one, of the Gemara saying that, look, when I look at the gap in the middle, I can look not just at one side, but I can actually look at both sides. So in other words, I have 2 of airspace in the middle, but I also have a total of 4 on the side. That's 2 to 4. Obviously, now we'll say it is omed merub al aparetz. There's more solid than there is airspace. Here, however, this opinion, opinion number 2 of the Gemara, says no. That when looking at the airspace in the middle, I don't have the ability, the right, to look at both sides. I can only look at one side. That's why he's of the opinion that it's 1 airspace in the middle versus 1.5 on this side, 1.5 on this side, because I can only compare it to this and one side, not both sides. Good. So the Gemara says that's in fact the machlokes between the two opinions. La'ai palgisu v'omen ruach balaparts mishe ruchos palginu. Lididcha ha've'omen mishe ruchos l'ravin miruach achar ha've'omen mishe ruchos l'ha've'omen. De'isa kadacha lo pligisu. Because if you think for a moment that there's no debate over here, l'ravin hachi yibai l'lamemar etzba v'shlish mekan v'etzba shlish mekan v'etzba shlish revach b'emtza. Why, if we're not having a debate, why not opinion number 2 be 1 1/3 on one side, 1 1/3 on the other side, and 1 1/3 in the middle, meaning make it equal amounts. So the Elamai Pagina, so the Gemara says, so what do you think they're arguing? Lididi hachi by lemeimer, etzba vishnei shlishim mikan, the etzba vishnei shlishim mikan, the etzba ayim ushnei shlishim revach b'emsa. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so then my position should have been 1 2/3 on one side, 1 2/3 on one side, and 2 2/3 in the middle. So the Gemara says, the real debate over here is the question of whether they're when they're equal. Meaning in this first opinion over here, I have the same amount as in the middle as I have on the side. This is what's called omed kiparts, they're equal. And the debate between the two is, can I ignore the gap when they're equal, when the actual wall exceeds the airspace, so clearly that would be fine. But when they're equal, is that going to be? Do we say that the airspace can be negated? That's the machlokes between the first opinion and the second opinion. So once again, basically now, same basic discussion, but we moved from walls to toilet seats. I know that's a funny jump, but basically it comes out conceptually to be the same issue. That as long as I have more wall than airspace, so then we could say that the airspace becomes negated. If I have equal amounts of wall and airspace, that's subject to a debate. That's Paritz Ka'omein. We're going to see more about that later on in the Masechta. And if I have more airspace than wall, so then obviously that's going to create a problem. That means that the wall is going to be negated. Simple question which Tosfos asks over here. Two simple questions that Tosfos asks over here. Let's go through both of the points of Tosfos. Number one, Tosfos said, when we went back to, go back to this case over here. In this case, what do we say? We said that if I have, right, what was one of the scenarios that we had earlier where it was 1, 1, 1, 1, and there's another one over here. But in other words, and the Gemara said, well, that's going to be a problem. Why? Because I have 10 amas of airspace over here, 1 amma of airspace over here, and this one kind of gets lost. Right? This one becomes bottle. So Tosos wonders, let's go to our toilet seat. So in our toilet seat, so why not say the same thing over here? Meaning I have two etzbaos over here of airspace, two of actual seat, but don't I have all this area over here? Why are we just ignoring all this area over here? Tosos answers, this is a kli. That's a wall, this is a kli. When we're talking about a kli, we only look at the kli itself, and we don't look at all the surrounding airspace. Okay, that's one issue of Tosos. By the way, this Tosos, fourth Tosos on the Amud. Okay, the other issue is a big issue which Tosos deals with, and that's the following. Okay, I know I have numbers over here. These are just numbers, but remember, these are etzbaos. This is just an inch, 2 inches, inch and a half. These are just etzbaos. So Tosos says, I don't understand the entirety of the discussion over here. Because basically we're wondering, if let's say I had, let's take out 2, let's put 3 over here. Let's make this 1. Let's make this 1. Okay? So, my math is wonderful today. Let's make it a half. Okay? Whatever. The point being the same. Okay? So Tosha says, I don't understand. And we're trying to wonder now, this toilet seat over here, is it considered an entire toilet seat? Or, no, is it the hole in the middle so gaping that it's not going to give off Tumas Ohel? Don't we have this principle called Lavud? Lavud tells us that if I have any two items that are within proximity of one another, the area in between gets sealed. Okay, we've said that time and again. We've seen it in our Masechta already a number of times. We're going to continue seeing it again and again with this principle called Lavud. So Tosfos says, if you think about it, so even if that were the scenario, a half of an etzba on one side, a half of an etzba on the other side, and the hole in the middle, isn't the hole closed up through the principle of Lavud? And Lavud allows us to close up a 3 tefach area. Here, that's 3 etzbaos. That's nothing. So shouldn't Lavud work over there? So Tosfos asks, he answers, I'm going to read inside. So ve'ein lachshov, I'm in the fourth Tosfos on the Amud, halfway through the Tosfos, it's the last word in the line. The ein lachshav ha'avir kesasa mitam lavud. So don't look at the area closed up as a result of lavud. De hilchasa gemirila gabe tuma de lo armin lavud. We have halach l'mosh misinai that when it comes to the world of tuma, which is what we're talking about over here in our toilet seat, we do not say lavud by tuma. Because if we would have said lavud, so then what my illustration over here would have been correct. A half an etzba on one side, a half an etzba on the other side. 3 etzbaos of airspace in the middle. Why don't we say lavud? Tosa's answer is, hilchasa gemirila, it's part of halach l'moshe mitzinai. Okay. That we would not say lavud. And so that means then that if we had tumah underneath, the tumah would just go straight out. And Lovud would not enclose the area vis-a-vis Tumah. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I have another Tosfos that I don't know. I mean, I looked very quickly. I couldn't find it. Another Tosfos that says that, in answering the same exact question, which Lovud will say to help us, but we'll never say Lovud to hurt us. Meaning, we won't say Lovud to result in a Chumrah. Although, I off the top of my head, I could not find where exactly that was. Okay, we're on the bottom of the Amud now. We're starting now with the new sugya. And we are discussing Surah Pesach. Today's daf Yud Aleph, is dedicated entirely to the topic of Tzoros HaPesach. What do we know? We learned already in our Mishnah that when you have a Tzoros HaPesach, so we're good. Meaning that even though our Mishnah told us that the entrance of the Mavli cannot exceed, it cannot be wider than 10 Amos, however, if you have a Tzoros HaPesach, so then it could be as wide as you want. Doesn't matter. If you look back in the Mishnah, in Mishnah writes, in Yesh L'Tzoros HaPesach, Af HaPishu Rach Me'as Amos, Ein Tzorach L'mayit. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. Tzoros HaPesach, it's not complicated, although today we'll learn it's a little bit complicated. I mean, not complicated, but there are some details to Tzoros HaPesach. But on the simplest level, Tzoros HaPesach is two side posts and a lintel going over the top. You're probably familiar with the Tzoros HaPesach because every Erev constructed in every city is basically made up of a Tzoros HaPesach, where you have two side posts and you have a wire going over the top. That is your Tzoros HaPesach. Although, after you learn today, it's going to be a little bit more complicated than what I just described. Right? I used to walk around with the rudimentary thinking that, oh, the telephone poles are the Tzoros HaPesach. You'll see after today's daf, it's a little bit more involved than just simply saying, there's a telephone pole, you have a Tzoros HaPesach. Okay, the question is, can all four sides of an Erev be made up of all four sides of Rishus Yachin? Right, let's speak a little more accurately. Can all four sides of Rishus Yachin be made up of Tzoros HaPesach? Okay, today's daf is going to speak to that, although the halacha gets a little bit complicated. Okay, I was just talking about it over the Shabbos with Rabbi Rabinovicki. But first let's learn the daf, and then later I'll give you a more involved answer. Gemara asks such an ingenious question, such a creative question. Look, we've learned now so far in our Masechta. We've been here in Erevin for a week and a half. And here's basically what we know. Tzoros HaPesach will help you in terms of your width. If it's wider than 10 Amos, and you have it Tzoros HaPesach, you're good. We also learned earlier in the Masechta about this idea of the Amaltera, where if I have cedar beams on the top, or if I have decorative carvings in the Korah, it's good. Meaning that'll serve as a hecker, even if it's above 20 Amos. Because it's decorative, because it's cedar, so people will see it, people will notice it, and so therefore it can be higher than 20 Amos. So says the Gemara, I wonder. We now know Tzoros HaPesach will allow us to stretch the limits on width. And a Maltera will allow us to stretch the limits of height. Can we flip? Can a Maltera allow me to stretch the limits of width? And can Tzoros HaPesach allow me to stretch the limits of height? The Gemara answers this question. We're now in the very top of Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. Ibcha Mai. Tashma Detanya Mavushi Gavo Me'asim Amayim Avim Ishlat Tzoros HaPesach and Tzoroch Lamayit. Good. First of the two questions, answered very, very quickly and very cleanly. Tzoros HaPesach will help you in both directions, both in terms of stretching width and in terms of stretching height. So once you have a Tzoros HaPesach, so there's no limits in terms of how wide it could be, nor how high it could be. Now, again, you kind of already knew that because if we're talking about making a telephone pole into a Tzoros HaPesach, I mean, that's, what is it, 20 feet in the air? Whatever your standard telephone pole height is. Okay, it's very high. The Amaltera Berech Lomai, again, question number two, the Amaltera, right? The decorative carvings or the cedar wood, whichever pshat we're going to go through, can that exceed in terms of width? So Tashma, the Gemara says, well, how about this? The Tanya will not turn a bray, so Mavu, she gave up Master Mama, Yimat. Ve'aracha, Master Yimat. Ve'im yeshlo tzoros ha-pesach, einu tzorach lamayit. So if it's made, if it's the entrance is constructed of a tzoros ha-pesach, you don't have to limit it. And then, im yesh lo amaltera, einu tzorach lamayit. Now, if you have an amaltera, also, you don't need to limit it. Now, if you look back at the beginning of this brice, so the brice here was talking both about the height and the width. And the simple reading of this brice seems to indicate that as long as you have an amaltera, it's fine. You have to neither lower it nor reduce its width. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. My lava, seifa lo aresha. So the Gemara says, no, when it's talking about the Malter, it's only talking about the first statement made in the Braisa, which is only going on the height, not on the width. Meaning that if you have an Amaltera, so you don't have to reduce its height, but it doesn't help you with it regarding the width. Okay, this should sound familiar. This takes us back to day one of Erevin. So Rav Yehuda was teaching Chia, the son of Rav, the following, I'll call it a Mishnah, although let's call it a Braisa, either way, and that is that with a Tzuras HaPesach in a Tzarech Lamayit, you don't have to minimize the width. So Amrlei Asni of Tzarech Lamayit, and Rav disagreed. Rav said, no, Tzuras HaPesach will not help you regarding the width. In other words, to say it pretty flatly, if Rav were around and he saw the way that we create our Eruv with our Tzuras HaPesach, so he would have a conniption. He would go crazy. Because Rav is of the opinion, we don't accept the Rav LaHalacha, but Rav is of the opinion that even with the Tzuras HaPesach, the Tzuras HaPesach cannot exceed 10 Amos. Now, if you remember back to the first day of the Masechta, why should that be? So, the reason why is because he learns the Halachas of Korah from Pischo Shel Heichal, the entrance to the Heichal. Now, the entrance to the Heichal was 10 Amos wide and 20 Amos high. And furthermore, the entrance to the Heichal certainly had Tzuras HaPesach. It had two posts and it had a lintel on the top. And yet it was still confined to 10 Amos wide and 20 Amos high. So Rav says even with the Tzuras HaPesach, it can't exceed 10 Amos. What about our Mishnah? So Rav, when he heard our Mishnah being taught, so Rav says that's not his girsa of the Mishnah. His girsa of the Mishnah is Tzarech Lema'it. If the Tzuras HaPesach is wider than 10 Amos, you got to narrow it so that it's only 10 Amos. So Asnei Tzarech Lema'it. Amar Rav Yosef Midivra Rabbeinu Milmarad Chatzir Sheruba Pesachim Vechalonus Ein Interes B'Tzuras HaPesach. So now Rav Yosef would like to extrapolate. Meaning what we're going to do now is basically take Rav's thinking thought process and now apply to the following. Now, again, by the way, as a disclaimer, right, let's make sure we remember, the halacha does not follow like Rav regarding this halacha, but if you are with Rav in thinking, so then you're going to result in the following. That let's say I have a chatzer where there are more entrances than there are walls. Okay? A canopy, basically. Where I have windows, doors. When all said and done, I have a lot of frames, but not a lot of wall. And let's make the statement even stronger. I have more airspace than I have walls, although that airspace is framed by a Tzuras HaPesach. It sounds like from Rav's standpoint, that would be no good. Why? So ain't any terrace but source of Pesach, my time of Yosem Yasar Asab Mavui, who parts Merubala Omid Asabhatzer. Because look, we know we're gonna see this a number of times over the course of the first parak. We'll see it in the second parak as well. By a chatzer, I need more wall than airspace. In order for something to qualify as a chatzer, it has to have Omid Meruba Ala Parts. So, my Yosem Yasar Asab Mavui, ain't any terrace source of Pesach. So here's the logic. If by a mavui, an entrance that exceeds 10 amos is no good, and according to Rav, Tzuras HaPesach is not going to help it, so av parts merubala omeid, asur bechatzer, ainu nitzur Tzuras HaPesach. So when I have a chatzer and I have more entrances than wall, I have parts merubala omeid, so then Tzuras HaPesach is not going to help that as well. So the Gemara now, this is Rav Yosef's extrapolation of Rav's thought process. The Gemara says this argument is not a fantastic argument. Why not? And here's why the argument is not wonderful. Because we're going to get together and learn the second parak of Erevin, God willing, and in it, we start in a week from today. In the second paragraph, we're going to learn something called Pasei Beiraus. I think we already spoke about this once before, and that is the brackets. Meaning you're traveling to Yerushalayim, you have to stop on Shabbos, and we want to create a Rishus Yachid so that our animals can drink from the well. So what can we do? We'll just simply take an L bracket, put it here, an L bracket here, an L bracket here, an L bracket here, and then we have now a Rishus Yachid. Even though it's just simply four brackets, and the second parakeet is dedicated to this topic. Now, in these brackets that are created, how much distance can be made between the brackets? So that's subject to a debate. According to Rav Meir, which is what we're focusing on right now, it can't exceed 10 amas. So at least according to Rav Meir, you see the 10 amma opening is a non-negotiable item regarding the definition of a wall. Because even Pase Baros, where we are literally and figuratively stretching the limits of what a definition of a wall is, 10 ammas is not negotiable. It still cannot exceed 10 ammas. Meanwhile, in these brackets that I used to create my well wall, is there more wall than there is airspace? No. There's more airspace than there is wall. Meaning all I got is just simply the four corners, and then the rest of it is just airspace. So you see that Paritz Maruba Al Ha'omed is negotiable, and you see by the Pase Baros that we don't need it. So Surah Pesach, although can help you in terms of your 10 amma width, again, all this is according to Rav, but that's a non-negotiable item, at least according to Rav Meir. Omed, Paritz Maruba Al Ha'omed is a negotiable item, and so therefore, maybe Surah Pesach will help that as well. Okay, so the Gemara's argument is, perhaps, Rav Yosef's extrapolation is not correct. Lema misayele. The Gemara says, well, let's study and observe the following. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa reads pretty clearly, that if I have walls where most of the walls are entrances and windows, it's going to be mutter, provided that you have more wall than you have airspace. So now, she omen ruba la parts. Now, sheruba psakadacha ela ema sheriba behem psach mechalanos. Now, obviously, the way the Bryce is presented to us, it's a little confusing because it says if the majority of it is windows, well, that's fine as long as the majority of it is wall. What? So the Gemara says, you're right, that's not a good way to say it. The correct way to say it is, if there are a lot of windows in airspaces, that's good, as long as there's more wall than airspaces. So again, what is that indicating to us? That sounds like we're right. It sounds like that even with Surah Pesach, you still need more wall than airspace. The Gemara's response is, Kitanyi bepeske shamai. The Gemara says, yeah, but there was no source of Pesach over there. We're talking about windows and doors, but no source of Pesach. The Gemara says, that's a neat trick. How does that work exactly? My peske shamai, plegi by Rav Rechum and Rav Yosef, we're going to have two opinions. Chanamah delesle shakfei, v'chanamah delesle tikra. Either the side posts are not even, meaning the bricks were never leveled off on the sides. So basically a brick coming in, a brick coming out, a brick coming in, a brick coming out. So you don't have an even side post. Or you have the side posts, you just simply don't have the lintel on top. Meaning this doorway basically goes up all the way to the top of the wall so that there's no source of Pesach. So there, if there's no source of Pesach, so then you need more wall than airspace. But if you have a source of Pesach, you're good. You don't need more wall than airspace. So once again, we're arguing whether or not source of Pesach is going to help you regarding this requirement of more wall than airspace. The Avrav Yochan Sarva La Laha Derav. Rav Yochan agrees with Rav as well. How do we know this? Amar Rav and Barav Adam, Rav Yitzchak, Maisa Badanecha, Mibikas Beis Chorasan. There was an episode with somebody from the valley of Chorasan. Shena'at dal kundusim ba'arba pinos asada. Here's what he did. He took four poles and simply stuck it in the ground in a square formation. Umasach zemura aleihem. And then he put vines on the top of it. Okay, this is exactly what we do in terms of Tzuras HaPesach. Ubay maisa lefnei chachamim v'hitiru lo le'inyin kalayim. So, and now they went to the rabbis and they said, what do you think? Do we have walls over here? And the Chachamim said, yes, we do, in terms of the halachas of Kalayim. Okay, now everyone get ready, because I'm going to explain it, and it's not going to make sense. Which I guess you could say almost every day. But here, it's really going to, it's hard to understand. But basically, we know the following. The halacha regarding kalayim is that in the same field, I cannot plant a vineyard and other seeds on the same field. If you do that, you violate the isser of kalayim. Okay. We also know that if, however, the vineyard and the other seeds are planted side by side, but there's a wall in between, the wall separates. Even though it's not a subterranean wall, even though the wall starts at the ground level, doesn't matter. In terms of the halacha of kalayim, the wall separates the grape from the other seeds. And now what we're learning is, and by the way, in other words, you understand that the roots go down and there may be an intermingling of the roots, but again, the wall separates. And now what we're learning is even a bigger chiddush. It doesn't have to actually be a physical wall. As long as it's a legal wall, that would be sufficient. So in other words, if I have now a tzuras ha-pesach, just two side posts and the lentil going over the top, and by lentil over here we're talking about a vine, doesn't matter. As long as I have the side posts and the lentil going over the top, in terms of the halachas of kalayim, I'll just simply mark the area underneath where the tzuras ha-pesach is dropping down, descending, and now on one side I can plant grapes, on the other side I can plant seeds, even though to the visible eye, it looks like I just planted grape and other seeds side by side. But we know now, we put on our halachic glasses, and we know, no, what are you talking about side by side? There's a wall separating them. Where's the wall? Tzuras ha-pesach. So far, so good. And then the Gemara says, now we take it to the next step. The Amar Yish Lakish Kederach She'etir Lo Le'inyin Kalayim, Kach Yetir Lo Le'inyin Shabbos. Just like as it creates a wall for the vis-a-vis the halachas of Kalayim, it also creates a wall vis-a-vis the halachas of Shabbos. Good. All this was Reish Lakish. And the reason why we bring all this down is for the next line of the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Amar, Le'Kalayim Yetir Lo Le'inyin Shabbos. I'm sorry. Rav Yochanan Amar, Le'Kalayim Yetir Lo Le'inyin Shabbos Lo Yetir Lo. Yeah. So Rav Yochanan says, yeah, for Kalayim, I'm going to give it to you. Fine. You can plant grape on one side and other seeds on the other side. But not vis-a-vis Shabbos. It does not work vis-a-vis Shabbos. Now, b'mayaskinan, let's try to understand this a little bit better. Rav Yochanan is calling into question the validity of a Tzuras HaPesach. How can he do that? B'mayaskinan, ilam ha-minatzad. Now, maybe the Gemara thinks for a moment, you know what's wrong with the Tzuras HaPesach? Again, here's your Tzuras HaPesach. Easy for me to draw. Two sides and a lentil going over the top. The Gemara says, you know what? Don't even suggest, even though the Gemara is about to do that, don't even suggest that maybe the issue over here is that Tzuras HaPesach is not going off the top, but rather that Tzuras HaPesach is coming off the side of the side posts. This is what's called minatzad. Okay? Field goal. The Gemara says, don't even suggest that. Why? Because the Hamar Achis, Tzuras HaPesach, Shasu minatzad, lo asav lo klum. Because Rav Chista says, and as we're going to see later on this morning, this is a halacha that's not a Tzuras HaPesach. That is simply invalid. It's as if you did nothing. So that can't be the issue over here. Ela al gaban. So it must be that the lentil goes off the top of the side posts. So now, once again, we're struggling. If the lentil's going off the side of the off the top of the side posts, so then what's the issue? If it's 10 amas wide, why shouldn't it be good? Don't we all agree? I mean, everybody, that if you have, it starts the Pesach, that's 10 amas wide, it should, of course it's good. So it must be that it's greater than 10 amas, and it must be that Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav, that if you have, it starts the Pesach, that that's width exceeds 10 amas, it's not going to be a valid Tzuras HaPesach. So now what the Gemara is doing, and again, we're doing a lot of conjecturing, but the Gemara is suggesting, however, this is the proper way to understand Rav Yochanan, and if it is, so then we can align Rav Yochanan just like the position of Rav, which is that a Tzuras HaPesach that exceeds 10 amos in width is not going to be good. It's not going to be a valid wall. The Gemara says, maybe not. Lo la'olam be'eser. So the Gemara says, no, maybe we'll go back to what we suggested. Maybe it is the field goal, and maybe Rav Yochanan disagrees with Rav Chista. Rav Chista, who said that such a Tzuras HaPesach is no good, perhaps what Rav Yochanan is arguing is, it's kind of good. When I say kind of good, For Kalayim, it would be okay. For Shabbos, it won't be good, but at least for Kalayim, it would be okay. V'rami de Rav Yochanan, de Rav Yochanan, v'rami de Reish Lakish, de Reish Lakish, de Amar, Reish Lakish, Mishum, Rav Yehuda, Bar Chanina. And now the Gemara is going to point out, Reish Lakish seems to contradict himself, and Rav Yochanan seems to contradict himself. Over the following, Reish Lakish quotes in the name of Rav Yehuda, Bar Chanina, the following halacha. Peya. Now, I got so confused, because I immediately shifted to, we're talking about the halachas of Peyos. Right, the corner of your field. No. A peya over here, Rashi explains, is the actual vine placed over the top. Peya muteres le'inyan kalayim, avalo l'shabbos, that if I have two posts, and if I have a vine strung over the top of it, that would be good for kalayim, but not for Shabbos. Now hold on. Reish Lakish, 10 lines ago in the Gemara, it says that if I have side posts and I have a vine over the top, it's good for both kalayim and for Shabbos. So you see already that we have a problem with Reish Lakish. And then, V'Rav Yochanan Amar, K'mechitzos l'Shabbos, D'lo, Kach mechitzos l'Klayim, D'lo. And Rav Yochanan says, it's not good, and it's not good. It's not good for Shabbos, it's not good for Klayim. And again, that's a problem, because again, 10 lines ago in the Gemara, Rav Yochanan said that the vine over the top of the two posts would be good for Klayim, just not for Shabbos. And here, Rav Yochanan is saying, it's good for neither, for Klayim and Shabbos. So, we're going to try to iron everything out. So, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, not the end of the world, because the first statement of Reish Lakish is where he was quoting his own opinion. This last statement of Reish Lakish, he was quoting it in the name of Rav Yehuda Rabbi Chanina. So, that's not a problem. That last statement, he's not espousing his own viewpoint. Ela de Rav Yochanan, de Rav Yochanan kasha, but certainly for Rav Yochanan it's difficult. Now a simple resolution could be, previously when Rav Yochanan said it was good at least for Kalayim, that's talking about when the vine was on the top. Here when he says it's not good at all, it's when the vine is going off the side posts, field goal. So but if in both cases it's talking about Minatzad, so how do you resolve? So the Gemara says, well, perhaps what we could suggest is, in both cases, it's not going off the top of the side posts, it's going off the side of the side posts. And the difference is, in the first case, we're talking about where it's within 10 amas, and here we're talking about where it exceeds 10 amas. And it's such a distinction, a valid one. And the Gemara says, it is valid, it's a valid distinction. There was an episode where Rav Yehoshua goes to Rav Yochanan ben Nura to learn Torah. And even though he knows Hilchos Klayim, and they're sitting between two trees, and he takes a vine and he ties it from one tree to the other tree. Now, here I have a vineyard I plant on one side of my on one side of my Tzuras HaPesach. Can I plant other seeds on the other side? Amalo be'eser mutter, be'yoser me'eser, aser. Depends. If the distance between my Tzuras HaPesach, if the width of the Tzuras HaPesach is 10 amos or below 10 amos, it's fine. If the width exceeds 10 amos, it's not good. Now, the Gemara says, look, if it's a bona fide source of Pesach, where the vine's going off the top, it can exceed 10 amos. So, it must be that the vine that was strapped between the two trees was going off the side of the tree, not the top of the tree. And now we see that when it's minatzad, if it's within 10 amos, it works. If it exceeds 10 amos in width, it does not work when it's minatzad. Now, mind you, by the way, all this is talking about kalayim. What about if we're talking about vis-a-vis Shabbos? So let's go now continue in the Gemara. Gufa. Halacha number one regarding the Tzuras HaPesach is that the lentil has to go off the top, it cannot go off the sides. If it goes off the sides, according to Rav Chista, it is simply not good. Two, Amar chisatur sapes chisham mitzrich shetei bria kedei lahamid ba delas. Ve'afil del shel kashin. A second halacha regarding Tzurus HaPesach, it has to be strong. Strong enough to be able to support a door. I mean, that's really what the door frame is for anyway, to support the door. Now, as far as the door is concerned, it doesn't have to be a really heavy door. It can even be a straw door, but it has to be strong enough to support the door. And a third halacha, I'm Rish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yanai, Tzurus HaPesach, Tzricha Heker Tzir. It needs a socket. Meaning the doors back in the good old days, how were the doors hinged on? So nowadays we have the hinges that attach it to the side. In the good old days, what they used to do with the doors, they used to have a peg going on the bottom, a peg going on the top, a socket going into the floor on the bottom, a socket going into the top, much like the kitchen doors, right, where it swings open on both sides. And so therefore, a Tzurus HaPesach requires Heker Tzir, a hole for the socket. So my Heker Tzir, Amar Avivira Avakta. Okay, so now we have provided three halachas regarding Tzurus HaPesach. Just quickly to review, one, the lintel has to go off the top. Two, has to be strong enough to hold the door. Three, there has to be holes for the sockets of the door. Ashkechinu Rav Achabre Rav Avila Tamid Rav Ashi Amalu Amar Mar Midi B'Tzuras HaPesach. Did you hear anything regarding Tzuras HaPesach? Amar Le Lo Amar V'Lo Klum. Nope. Did not hear. Tanit Tzuras HaPesach Sha'amru Kana Mikan V'Kana Mikan V'Kana Al-Gabayam Tzrichan Liga or Ain Tzrichan Liga. Another discussion regarding Tzurus HaPesach. By the way, I'll come back in just a moment to discuss which of these do we hold lahalacha. But another question. The lentil. We know it has to go on the top of the side posts. Does it need to touch the side posts? Rav Nachman Amar Ein Tzrichan Liga, Rav Sheshes Amar Tzrichan Liga. Machlok is between the Amarayim. Rav Nachman's of the opinion it does not need to touch. Which means, according to Rav Nachman, that this we just learned is no good, according to Rav Chista. But, let's do the following. Let's see the side posts end over here, and over here, according to Rav Nachman, the lentil could be up here. And that would be fine. It doesn't, the lentil does not need to touch the side posts. Now again, Rav Nachman has not agreed, there's a debate in the Gemara, but as we'll see in just a moment, the halacha will in fact follow like Rav Nachman. Also, Rav Nachman, Vavad Ovda Beresh Galusa, Kishmaite, Rav Nachman made its source of Pesach, for the house of the Reish Galusa, according to his own opinion, which is that the lentil doesn't have to touch the side posts. Amalei Rav Shesha Shamei Rav Gada. So Rav Shesha turns to his attendant Rav Gada. Zil Shalof. Right? The word gets to Rav Shesha that Tzurus HaPesach is constructed in this fashion, where the top is not touching the sides. Rav Shesha is incensed. And Rav Shesha says to his attendant Rav Gada, take it down.
You're going to start
talking
in 5 minutes.
Right. Oh, but yeah. Right. I have not given a word of explanation in terms of why that should work. Let's just cover the Gemara first. Zil shlof shadino azil shalaf, and right, Rav Shesha tells him to take it down. He takes it down, rips down the eruv. So shadino ashkechid de Reish Galusa chavshu. Now the members of the family Reish Galusa finds this Rav Gada, who is taking down the eruv of the city, and they throw him in jail. Okay, also Rav Sheshes, we're finishing up the story. So Rav Sheshes Kama Bava goes to the door of the jail, pays him a visit. Amar Lei Gada poke, and he says Gada come out. Now, by the way, if you're sensitive to the language over here, you hear the double entendre, meaning the word Gada is the name of his attendant. It also in Aramaic is the same word for wall. The word for wall in Aramaic is good, right? Gada poke, like literally in the context of the story, it means Gada come out of jail. But again, in the larger context of the discussion that we're having over here, the wall should come out, meaning it's not a valid wall. The Ta Nafak, so it comes out of jail. Okay. Release from jail should always be that easy. V'asa ashkechei Rav Sheshes Rav Bar Shmuel Amrlei Tani Mar Midi B'Tzuras HaPesach Amrlei In Tanina, and he says, yeah, we did learn something regarding Tzuras HaPesach. Okay, now I'll do the following. We're going to pause over here in the Gemara. I know we have a little bit more to get to the Mishnah. We're going to be discussing Cholkik in Lahashlem, and really, I don't want to do it in just a minute on the fly. So tomorrow we're going to start the discussion of Cholkik in Lahashlem. So again now, quickly to recap, today's daf is really dedicated to the formation of Tzurus HaPesach. Here's what we know. Tzurus HaPesach min atzad, field goal, right, no good. Okay. Right, you have the image in your head where the, you know, wide right or wide left. Okay, if it's no good, meaning it has to be that the lentil is going off the top. Okay, otherwise it's not going to be a good source of Pesach. And that is the halacha. Does the lentil have to touch the side post? So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. The halacha is it does not need to touch. Okay, in terms of hekker tzir. The Gemara says no. That we don't, even though there is an opinion in the Gemara that says that require it, that's not a requirement for it. What about strong enough to hold the door? Not clear from the Gemara whether or not that's the accepted halacha or not. The Shulchan Aruch brings down not a requirement to be able to be strong enough to hold the door. Now, just quickly, I'll just end off today with the following. So, what do we do nowadays in terms of our source of Pesach for the city to go around the city? So. You see, the telephone poles are a bit helpful, but a bit of an issue. Because basically what the city did for us is, and they did it for every city, is that they made two posts and they made a wire going off the top. That's great. The problem is that the pole usually goes higher than the wire. And so now, it's minatzad. So it's wonderful. You almost have a perfect Seiros HaPesach, with the exception of the wires are going not off the top of the pole, but going off the side of the pole. So we could go to the city council and say, hey, next time you make your telephone wires, your electric wires, could you have them going off the top? Okay. Or, that's what we could do, but rather what we do is that right alongside the telephone poles, we make a 10 tefach lechi. And based on what we learned today, you now understand. Why is that good? Because there now, we just learned that according to Rav Nachman, the lentil does not have to touch the side post. So we're basically putting the side post right alongside the telephone pole. So now I have lechi mikan, the lechi mikan, and the wire going off the top. What about the fact that the wire is, right, dozens of feet above the pole? That's fine. That we learned is fine. And that is the very, just the beginnings in terms of what we do to create our Tzuras HaPesach around our city. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll continue tomorrow, Chokig and Lahashlam, our first discussion, and then we move on to discuss more halachas regarding color, lechi and color.